interesting things I've learned are happening in garages underneath Building 18 or building, you know, buildings all over campus. And there's a group of car enthusiasts. J.P. Stewart, who you're looking at, is one of them. And he's formed a group of car enthusiasts who are pimping out their cars with all sorts of interesting PC gadgets.
Yeah.
So he invited me down the garage to see what's in his car. So what is in your car? What are you guys doing?
So there's a whole new generation of people out there that are putting PCs in their car. Why? Because, well, PCs are getting smaller, they're getting cheaper. And not only that, but in general, society wants to do so much more with their PCs, right?
Right.
It's becoming this media hub. And if you look at mobile PCs especially, right, mobile PCs are really taking off. Like the Streets and Trips that just came out with the GPS.
That's awesome.
That's been really popular, really taking off. Right. Why? Because it's just a cool idea, right? For lower prices and for higher functionality, you can get this really cool idea where it just
now, first of all, this is not a Microsoft product, right?
Correct.
This is a bunch of Microsoft employees who are just having fun nights and weekends down in the garages. So this is the new Homebrew Computer Society, you know, that started the PC industry and built this building, right? So you guys are taking on the auto industry and coming up with cool things for your cars. Show me what you're doing.
And as an example here is, this is a mini ITX system. It's pretty small, as you can see, and the price point is just fine. And I've mounted it on the back of one of the seats there for easy access. But at the same time, it's also, you know, it's a gigahertz processor, 256 megs of RAM. It's got a DVD player installed.
ITX system is what?
So an ITX motherboard just is like ATX. It's a form factor.
Okay.
And so they now have mini ITX out, which is, the motherboard's really only about this big inside the case there. And not only that, but it has significant power advantages too. So it only draws at most 60 watts. And that really, in terms of car PC, the power problems, that's what you have the most problems with, because most computers take 200 watts or more, right, for just a normal power supply. Well, a car runs on 12 volts. If you divide that out and you look at the amps, that's about 16.7 amps. That's a lot of power to be able to power. And so you really need to find some sort of computer that takes a little bit less power. And so these mini ITX systems.
So you have Windows XP running on this little machine?
Yes, SP2.
SP2.
Yes.
And do you have a screen that you look at, or does it talk to you via voice? Or?
No, I have a screen, actually.
Okay.
So I've used a Xenarc 7-inch 16x9 screen that I've mounted myself in a little plastic box. And, you know, I had to build the box and paint the box and do all that. And when I was constructing all this, you could hardly tell it was a car in the inside, because all these panels are off and there's wires running everywhere inside.
So are you trying to keep the schematics so that you can share this with other people?
Yeah, I do. I have wiring diagrams and layouts that I've posted on my website. And, you know, we all confer and give ideas to each other.
And how much money have you spent on the pieces here?
Well, if you look at the pieces that are installed right now, it's all for less than $1,000, actually.
Less than $1,000.
Yeah.
So you get a DVD player, full Windows XP box.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have Wi-Fi in there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's a Wi-Fi antenna. It's back. You can kind of see it on the other side.
Yeah.
Over there.
Where? I'm sorry. Oh, right there.
Yeah.
It's hard to see in the low light here. Maybe when we get outside, we'll look at it.
There's also a GPS antenna installed as well.
Okay.
So yeah, it's got Wi-Fi, it's got GPS, it's got DVD capability if you want it. It's hooked up to the sound system. So the OEM sound system here in the Jeep has a CD changer control.
Okay.
And instead of doing the FM modulation, which a lot of people like to do, I don't like the sound of the FM modulation. It just doesn't sound right. And so I got an adapter that plugs into the CD changer control, and then that plugs right into a digital USB sound blaster. So the sound is digital all the way from the computer all the way to the front. The sound blaster is
in that black box. So you got the ultimate podcasting setup, don't you?
You know, you could look at it that way.
Do you have an RSS aggregator on this thing?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
So you aren't listening to Adam Curry's show yet on the way home.
I can't.
That'll be your next project.
I've got a microphone here right at the top of the steering wheel. So if you want to, you can actually have conferences with people as well. So that was the first thing I did when I got it all set up is that I launched MSN Messenger, and yeah. I brought up my friends list, and I, you know, click start an audio conversation with a friend. I was just sitting there in the car, and, you know, they're talking out the speakers, and I'm talking, and the microphone's picking me up, and I'm just having a conversation with someone sitting at the desk, and I'm just sitting in my car.
Wow.
It's really, really cool.
Now, how does music get on the system?
So, actually, what I did was I took a portable hard drive, a portable USB 2.0 hard drive. I can't open it up right now without a screwdriver, but yeah. Basically I put rubber bands in here, okay. And the hard drive is mounted in the rubber bands,
okay.
So that it can shake around, but at the same time, it's just portable. And there's a USB port. I mounted a USB port on the front console.
Right.
I can just take this hard drive inside, right?
Yep.
Fill it up with as much music as I want, plug it into the dash, and Windows Media Player just goes, hey, I see a bunch of music here. What do you want to do? The default action is play, and it just starts playing all your music. Or, since I said I have Wi-Fi, I have 802.11g, I can just drive up at home, and you know, I see my server on my network and can copy all the music I want.
Now, are you one of those music thieves that Bomber was talking about?
No. Actually, I've been using the MSN Music Beta, actually.
Okay.
So I've been getting a lot of...
I'm sorry to see Bomber. He's a good guy. But he got everybody mad at him on Sunday.
Sure.
And I know he was joking about it a little bit. But, you know, I'm starting to use some of these devices to play, you know, Adam Curry's show and music. And this is just fascinating to me. So you pull in your garage and you can start downloading new music, or right here we have Wi-Fi, right? Maybe
right.
Not down on this floor, but
right.
Up on the upper floor we
in
do.
In fact, as soon as I start to pull into my complex, I see on the screen it pops up, hey, just found your Wi-Fi network. So even before I get to my unit, it's already found my network, and you know, I can connect to the internet.
Now, is there a good place for you to find out where the Wi-Fi stations are all over town?
Well,
is there a good website for they call it board driving, right?
Yeah.
Wireless access.
There you know. Are some sites that catalog that. I need to research it more. I don't know it right on the top of my head.
Okay.
But I definitely could be able to find that pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I haven't installed a NetStumbler yet, but NetStumbler is one of the most popular programs for that.
Okay. So you really do warp drive around.
Yeah,
you're the first guy with Wi-Fi in his car that I've seen. So.
it's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Sorry, we're having a little few cars drive by here. What else can you do with a auto PC like this?
So if you look at what my major goals were, right?
Yep.
So my major goals were GPS, obviously. So I have the GPS antenna. I have Streets and Trips 2005 installed. So it's pretty cool. It can mark where you're going, show you how fast you're going, everything like that. I have media player, so media is another major goal. But I have some future goals as well. One of them being internet. I want to be on the internet everywhere I go.
Okay.
So I actually bought a new phone and switched new service. This is my new phone. It's a Motorola V600 with Bluetooth.
Yep.
All I have to do is just have it in my pocket. I don't even have to take it out. The computer will automatically see it as a internet device, and I'm on the internet.
You're kidding me.
No. So I have unlimited internet service with T-Mobile, and the computer can use the phone over a Bluetooth connection.
Wow.
And it's just, as long as I'm sitting in the car, or as long as I'm standing, you know, near the computer, it can be on the internet.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could do that with a Bluetooth phone. Because
yeah.
Like, I've seen Chris Kinsman showed me his new Sprint card that he's on the internet through the cellular service, but with a card that plugs into
right.
his laptop.
So this is essentially, it's the same concept, meaning that, with Sprint, they're the 3G system. On T-Mobile, I'm using GPRS.
Yeah.
GPRS. And it's a slightly different network, but it's the same concept. I mean, I'm still using the phone as a connection to their data network, their dedicated data network, but the interface is just the Bluetooth inside the phone.
Can you give me a demo of the system?
Sure.
All right. Let me get around the other side.
Okay.
I guess we'll shut this down. So, yeah.
All right. So, the first thing that, let's see.
Can't really see. There you go.
How's that?
A little bit.
A little bit. Okay. So, one of the goals that I wanted was I wanted to be able to run the PC with the car not off, right? And so what I did was, the way that I ran the wiring was I installed these switches here in my car, if you can see them.
Yep.
And with one of the switches that I installed was an override switch.
Yep.
So I can just hit it. And it makes the PC think that the car's on, and it turns everything on automatically.
Wow.
Other than that, the PC will automatically determine when the car is on or not. And when you turn off the car, it automatically shuts down the PC and puts it in hibernate mode. And obviously, when you turn it on, it automatically starts and resumes.
How long can you run the computer without the battery being killed?
I don't know. I've never had a problem. I think that it could probably run for days.
Really?
Well, it really doesn't take that much power. You can see if I had Streets and Trips running.
Now that's interesting. You have a touch screen. What kind of screen? Explain to me the resolution and what kind of screen this is.
This is a Xenark 7-inch 16x9 touch screen.
Okay.
And it's got 800x480 resolution.
Wow.
It's VGA quality, and it has a VGA interface. That was something that was very important to me. A lot of the small screens like this that you see today have a composite interface or S-video interface, and that's great. It's, you know, it brings down the cost of the screens a lot, but it still doesn't have the same resolution as a pure, you know, VGA connection to your computer.
Now, on Channel 9, we interviewed the AutoPC group who is doing this professionally, right? And,
sure,
and they're trying
sure.
to build products. You guys are hobbyists. How does your system here compare to the professional product that the AutoPC group is doing?
Well, I think that they have different priorities than we do, honestly. And I'm not saying that's for better or worse. That's just, you know, they have business-oriented priorities that are really dictated by, you know, car makers and OEMs, where when you're a car maker and you're building a system like this, or you're thinking about building a system like this, you really have to think about the common user.
Yeah.
You have to think about everybody. I can't pretend that this system is for everybody yet, right?
Yeah.
You kind of got to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So that
you got to be a geek. This is a geek,
right?
This is a geekmobile, right?
But if you look at the, you know, if you look at history, there are a lot of things that started off that way and kind of migrated. So once you remove that priority from the things that we're doing, once you remove the priority of they have startup priorities where when you turn it on, it has to be there. It has to be working. As you saw, it took, 20 seconds maybe for mine to start up. That wouldn't be acceptable. So that's another priority to have. Once you start taking these priorities out of the way, it really opens up some cool possibilities for us.
Okay. Can you talk to this PC?
I don't have, I mean, I could. It has a microphone installed and the sound.
Because the Hummer that the professional guys showed was totally about talking to the PC and asking, can you find me my stock quotes or whatnot? So you you haven't worked on those things yet.
No, not quite yet. That could be a future goal. I mean, it's just software.
Yep.
Obviously, there's a lot of work that could go into that.
How many hours have you put into your car so far?
I started on the project in January,
okay.
I think. And it really only just got working and installed about a week ago.
Okay.
Over that time, you know, weekends, nights, that I've spent quite a bit of time. And I don't want to brag. I know that there are lots of others who've spent a lot more time than I have.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of help from a lot of the others in this group that have kind of gone before me.
Now there's about 30 to 40 people in this club, right? It's a hobbyist club. And what kinds of other things have you seen other members do?
Well,
in fact, we should come out to a club meeting, right, and see some of the other cars.
Sure.
We'll definitely do that.
Everybody has their own sort of spin on things. Like, my spin is more focused towards, you know, the GPS sort of interface. And one of my future goals is actually to hook into the ODB2 interface in the car. So,
I wonder if that brings some more light in. Yeah.
All right, hold on.
Yeah. Anyways.
The car has an ODB, so all new cars actually have this interface that's right under the steering wheel to your left.
Yep.
Right? And they make interfaces for computers that can read from that. And one of my goals would be to actually hook that up to the computer. So on the screen, you'd be able to get real-time information coming directly from your engine. Yeah. So that was one of my goals. Media was one of my goals. GPS was one of my goals. Wi-Fi was one of my goals.
So you could actually hook up a PC into your car subsystem and be tweaking. So if you had a sports car that you really wanted to get the ultimate performance out of it, you could tweak the engine timing, for instance.
If you knew all the codes, if you knew the right codes to send.
Interesting. Yeah. And are there people doing that?
I know that there are professional sort of car, like you can take your car to an auto shop, some of the auto shops around here, and they can do that for you.
Right.
So I know that it's possible. However, I don't think I've seen, you know, that be transferred to a hobbyist level quite yet.
Okay.
I could be wrong. I haven't seen that.
Interesting. How often do you guys meet?
Honestly, we're so new. We haven't had like a whole meet yet.
Oh,
it's
really?
All been just like over email and through websites and through pictures and videos.
So we're here early in the prep.
Very, very early.
And will the public be invited to join in the club, or is it just Microsoft employees?
I'm not sure yet. You know.
Okay.
Right now we've just sent it out to Microsoft employees just because that's kind of the medium I have for contacting people.
Yeah.
So I would.
Well, I have a feeling a few hundred people will be watching this show.
I'm sure that public would be able to talk to them. I'm not really sure the answer to that.
Okay. Well, we'll definitely let people know where they can find you and if they're interested in joining the club.
I mean, I have information about all this on my public website.
Okay.
So, yeah.
What other things would I want to know? So it took a few hundred hours to put the system in then.
Right. What's took the most time is that I made a lot of mistakes.
Okay.
So one thing that I found out is that I have a radar detector.
Yeah.
And I used to have the Wi-Fi antenna sticking right out of this box.
Yeah.
So the goal was for me to have as much centralized in this box as I could so that, you know, if I was going to use the space there, I may as well use the space. And when I had the Wi-Fi antenna sticking up, I found that whether the radar detector was on or off, it didn't work. I couldn't get any Wi-Fi. And in the end, it turns out that when you have two antennas like that, when you have an omnidirectional antenna next to a directional antenna, it actually turns your omnidirectional antenna into a directional antenna itself.
Uh-huh.
And so what was happening is the two antennas next to each other were interacting in such a way that I couldn't get my Wi-Fi to work. And so, that meant that, well, okay, the Wi-Fi can't go up there. That's why it's back there now. That means that, okay, now the box that I cut a hole in, well, had to go buy a new box, had to repaint the box, had to put everything back in.
Wow.
There's a lot of time involved in kind of researching how long things take. So, especially with the wiring. So, let's see if I can get this off.
Maybe we should drive up above so we can get better lighting so people can see the car.
So,
you certainly hacked your car. You learned all the panels to take off.
It comes off really easily, but there's a lot of wires back here, and so there's a lot of like taking the car apart and putting it back together. There's a lot of time associated with just figuring out, okay, well, that wire needs to run here or needs to run here, or whoops, I need to redo it this way.
Now, you have a Jeep. Is there a better car for doing this kind of stuff than others, or...?
You know, they all have their different advantages. A friend of mine who's also involved with this, he drives a Nissan 350Z. And, you know, the panels are harder to deal with in that they don't necessarily pop off as easy. I mean, you've got to pop off a lot more panels. But at the same time, he had a lot of power advantages in that getting to his battery and getting to the front compartment was much easier than it was for me. So, you know, each car has its own nuances and maybe easier. I mean, when they built these, they didn't really design for anything like
hacking
this.
Hacking them apart. Yeah. Well, let's go up above so we can get some light. And,
sure.
I can see a little bit, but I want to make sure I get some decent video. So I'm going to shut off right now. So we're back on air here, and we're just going to park right in front of Building 16 here. So it's a little hard to see the screen out in the bright sun.
It is, and that's one of the problems I'm still trying to work on.
Okay.
It has a bunch of brightness and settings, so I can turn up the brightness really high, and that may help.
Right.
Let's see.
Yeah. That's all right. So play some music first, just a little 5 seconds of that.
Let me plug in my music drive.
Excellent. You know, at the company store, they're selling these gigabyte keys now. It's amazing how much you can store on a little a USB key. But you have a USB hub down here? Is that the...
This is a hub I was using, but there's actually a USB hub embedded in the system.
Okay.
And this is just a USB extension to that hub.
Wow.
And so all I did was plug in the hard drive, and it came up and said, you know, found some music. I just hit OK, and, you know, it should start playing automatically.
And there's a Windows Media Player. Windows Media Player team will be happy to see that you're showing off their product.
Yep.
Great. So what kind of sound system do you have in here?
It's actually just the OEM, but at the same point, it's an Infinity six-speaker sound system. So the Jeeps actually come with a pretty good premium sound system.
Right. Let's turn it off because we won't be able to hear you.
That's fine.
One thing before, when I was meeting you, you know, I bought a Ford Focus for around it's a list price $21,000 car, but I bought it for $16,000-$17,000. And it has a great sound system in it. It has a subwoofer.
Yeah.
It's the first car I've ever seen with a subwoofer that comes OEM at that kind of price level.
It's starting to become a very popular point for people to have in a car.
Yeah. And so now I'm thinking of taking on a project like this, although I don't have the couple hundred hours. Where am I going to find the time to exercise, keep my wife happy, and do my weblog? Maybe I'll just pay you. Can you come and tip out my car? You can start a whole business.
that is an interesting... Actually, there's a company that's doing that right now.
Really?
Yeah, it's called the CarBot. Some guy is making a business out of, you know, selling these car bots to people.
Wow. What's your what's the most fun thing you've done so far on the PC? You've only had a setup for a week, right?
Like that, yeah.
Wow.
I think that the best part about
I'm sorry, I'm saying wow so much. This is cool because it's not a group of people that got paid to do this. It's hobby.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and
I can't
feel this way when I hang out with Philip Tyrone and see how he hacked his you know, Segways, or you know, Jeff has a bunch of little projects that he's doing. I love the hobbyist attitude, and the hobbyist attitude brings us all sorts of innovations that,
and I'm not even
we
the
take
first,
for granted.
I'm not even the first to do this either.
No, I'm sure.
I got the idea from a friend of mine who put it in this car, but I saw how cool it was, and I thought, man, I really want one of those.
And did you improve on his car?
Yeah, I mean, we both.
Oh yeah. Well, it's a little competition, yeah.
We both have our own differences.
Okay.
You know, he's got a much better sound system than I do.
Okay.
He really worked hard on. He replaced all the speakers in his car and put in a really fat amp, and he really worked hard on doing stuff like that. But at the same time, you know, I'm trying to go the more software approach, so I'm going to have this really cool dashboard and. I want to make it very easy to use. It's just running, you know, standard XP right now, but I'm in the process of working on the custom software for it.
Okay. Are you going to put a Media Center edition on this so you can watch? You can watch DVDs on this, right?
Right, theoretically.
You haven't tried it yet.
Well, I mean,
let's go to Blockbuster.
You're not supposed to watch DVDs while it's moving.
That's true.
So, and I don't have a DVD codec installed. It's still new that there's still a lot of software I have to install.
Right.
But it's got a DVD drive, and it's got a onboard... Actually, the motherboard has an onboard MPEG-2 decoder, so it can decode directly.
Now, do you have a little keyboard or something so you can plug in... Because I see there's a wireless network detected because we're here at Microsoft, and I'm sure... Do you have your credentials here so you can get on the
network? I don't, actually. Okay. That requires the machine to physically be plugged in at some point.
So you haven't you can't run some Ethernet out to the building and plug the fire.
I may have to find a building or something with short enough room to the closest Ethernet jack.
Building 20. Actually, you can drive right up to the back of the building and probably you go to Fry's and plug
my,
in.
My building doesn't have that advantage.
Anyways, we could get on the internet and you could. How would you enter in a web URL to, you know, like download Adam Curry's show or whatever?
Right. So, it does have a keyboard jack. I don't have one hooked up right now.
Okay.
But I could hook up a USB keyboard pretty easily.
Right.
At the same point, one of the goals of my software that I want to write is the ability to store favorites, right?
So you should just be able to click a button and get a list of favorites that you'd like to go to so that you don't have to type in the same URL over and over again.
Yeah. Now, are you using a news aggregator on your home PC?
I use RSS Bandit, actually.
Okay, and that was done by another Microsoft employee on his nights and weekends. So you can see how this hobbyist theme ties together really well. So you could have this thing downloading all your news feeds during the day, and when you get in, you can have it read to you, probably do some text-to-speech kind of thing. Really crazy. Thanks for showing me this car. It's
you're welcome.
A pleasure seeing it. It's an awesome little group, and we'll definitely come out and be at your first user group meeting or your first car PC.
Yeah, there should be a lot of great things to come.
Yeah.
Now that we're all focused, in the last month or so, we all started to work together and share ideas, and that's really gonna take off much more than just one or two individuals can put into something.
Yeah. This is really great. Thank you.